Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the big voice man, John Lopez. I'm Reginald Latitula. That's Figgy Fig. We're hanging out on a Tuesday in the loop. Rockets, man, they've done some big things acquiring Kevin Durant over the weekend. But what still stands in the Rockets' way? 713-572-4610. Because, I mean, look, this isn't a finished product yet, right? Like, they still, even if you're just looking at it as they're largely good, they have 12 guys on the roster. They do need to fill it out on the back end at the very least. And that's where, you know, I was in the break getting into mm-hmm. the nitty gritty of trying to recertify myself as a NBA CBA expert, looking at MLEs.
Did you get the certification?
No, I'm very far from that. I definitely don't know what the hell I'm doing. But I mean, look, digging into the MLE, which is $14 million that you have available to you, the ways that you can split that up, how you can maybe utilize that to go sign some more players. But where are you? Like, what still do you think that the Rockets need? And what still stands in their way for them to go and do the things that they need to do this year?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, just to recap, you know, what we've been talking about, you and Figgy for the last couple of days, like, what, you know, the trade itself immediately puts you at the upper echelon of the NBA, much less the Western Conference. I mean, they're right there. They're second favorites to win the championship next year.
There's one thing about odds. Do you think the Rockets, at least largely how they're formed, and mm-hmm. maybe this is not the question to ask right now, maybe we ask it in, I don't know, a week once you have the draft done, mm-hmm. which is happening tomorrow, and then free agency opens up, because that's still a big thing. Teams need to restructure. But do you see the Rockets as the best, having the best chance to dethrone the Thunder right now? Because, I mean, there's still teams that have a lot of blood and sweat mm-hmm. into this, that people can look at and say, hey, no, they might have a shot at it. Do you feel like the Rockets have usurped them?
I think right now, but there's still a ways to go. Because and that's part of the reason I was like, okay, so we think they're there. But what would make you feel a little better, so to speak, about it? Because, look, the Nuggets still have Jokic. The Lakers are going to
not. And Aaron Gordon.
The Lakers are not going to just, you know, sit there, especially with, you know, new ownership and everything else.
Yeah.
Just going to sit there with, you know, twiddling their thumbs thinking we good. Minnesota's going to get some stuff done. San Antonio's going to get some stuff done. We were just talking about Kristaps is the next one on the block for the Celtics. You asked me who are some teams that are mentioned with Kristaps. I just looked. San Antonio's one. So, like, you know, San Antonio's one. Mentioned with
they just gonna have just a whole trying bunch to get of, a bunch of 7-footers,
a bunch of slender men, 7-footers up there.
That they were shoot. Like, clearly the Oklahoma City Thunder. The reason why they won is they had 2 centers. So let's do this.
Let's do 4. Let's do.
They already got a 7-foot-5 point guard. Yeah. What else do you want?
Yes, they got that and more. So that's kind of like, all right, we think they're there, but you know, it's a long way till October.
Can I start here?
Yeah.
Like, what did you lose in trading away Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks?
Glad
let's start
asked.
There. Like, let's start with what, because I think that there's some things that you didn't get back, obviously, mm-hmm. in just Kevin Durant himself within this. Now, I don't know how major you want to term them as, but I do think that there are some things that you did lose in this trade that maybe that's where you start looking at how do we, you know, cobble back some of those pieces or address some of those things
yeah.
that you have.
I'm glad you asked, because I was kind of kidding around with you guys, kind of. When the trade went down and we were texting with each other in that group known as Den Boys on Wessie.
Because I called him Bari. Is this what you're talking about?
Well, there's that too. Bari.
Well, it's because I said Tari and Bari. It rhymes. But y'all know who I'm talking about. It's Jabari Smith Jr.
I gotta confess, man. I did not know who you started at first.
Reggie and then
I
thought so
it took me a minute. I'm like, okay, Bari. Okay, I got
I'm not the first one to do this.
You're one of few. It took me 2 minutes.
The thing is, I think that's the first time I've seen it spelt like that.
In writing.
In writing.
First time I've
because
seen,
I hear
yeah.
people say Bari all the time.
Yeah.
But when it said Tari and Bari, I'm like, Bari?
Jerks. Who's Bari? But that's neither here nor there. Well, it's kind of here. Anyway.
The law firm of Tari and Bari.
So, and one of the things I was kidding about was I'm just going to love hearing from all those Rockets fans like, oh, Kevin Durant's too old. Oh, he's been injured too much. and all of a sudden they're going to be like, hey, Kevin Durant. Change their tune real quick. You know what I mean?
Hey, if they could change their tune with Russell Westbrook when he got traded here, they could change it with anybody.
But that's not what I want to talk about here. I just thought that was kind of going to be funny, and I'm sure it is. But Dylan Brooks was a pretty integral piece defensively. We know that. But let's get to a little more specifics, because this is little stuff. You know, you'd rather have Kevin Durant and a chance to win a championship, you know, than not. But Dylan Brooks disrupted pick and rolls. He did a great job.
Oh, you going real X's and O's? I like this. No, let me sit up.
Let's talk about perimeter.
Yeah.
Not only did he do that, but he was a good defender, and he let a man sort of have the second go. The second guy. You know, well, that's going to change a little bit. Not that he can't do it. We know how good he is defensively. That's going to change a little bit. And if you have him up top, clearly Kevin Durant, and you know, you want to get into the weeds, let's get into the weeds. Clearly Kevin Durant is a great weak side defender, great off ball defender. Mm-hmm. He can come in and help block shots, et cetera. But that still means the opposition is going to be penetrating with a little bit more ease. You know, they're going to be in the lane a little bit more. Now,
if he's being drawn up to to be a primary perimeter defender at times, which I think that.
No, I'm saying even if he's not, you know, simply because there's going to be more opportunity in the lane because there's one fewer, you know, big time defender. Now, this is a great defender, a great defensive team, but there's one fewer defender on the perimeter that you can count on, especially now, and this is the other part of it, when Reed Shepard's on the floor.
Okay, I'm actually. And maybe this is copium. You let me know, because I feel like you're on the outside. You're on the other side of the rose-colored glasses that might be on right now. With the starting lineup that we've seen proposed out there, Fred VanVleet, Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith Jr., Kevin Durant, Alperen Şengün. I think Jabari has to step up and be a little bit more of a perimeter defender.
Absolutely.
But maybe in circumstances where you're trying to finagle it in situations, you're trying to match up. I think Tari Eason is the guy that they're anticipating stepping up into that role of really good pick and roll defense and like adding that additional element where, I mean, I know you were talking about Dylan Brooks as like a primary, taking that primary, that primary responsibility. He had an ability to kind of guard up sometimes and guard probably about, anywhere from one to four at times.
Yeah.
I think you have Amen Thompson who can do that. And then you have Tari Eason that you probably feel good guarding like maybe, one to three, and then Jabari could probably guard three to four or five.
My point is everybody's stepping up.
I think Jabari and Tari, which I think is part of the benefit of this, have more space to do that. And now the responsibility on the other side of that is now you have to pick those things up. So I don't think you're losing that nearly as much. You just have to be diligent from a coaching perspective of putting Tari and Bari in that space to do that. The thing that I do think, and I've seen people mention this, if you want to get a little nebulous, toughness is one of those things that I want to speak to because obviously Dylan Brooks very much viewed himself as the villain and get into those spaces to the point where I think he did it a little bit much. And Ime was also somebody that did this. So I kind of like that you pulled that back. But that constant physicality that Dylan brought, he was a catalyst in that way. Where do you think they get that from? Because I think Amen does some of that, but KD isn't that. Alperen isn't that. I don't know. Fred is some of that in a way that I don't think we give him enough credit for. But is that also Tari and Bari that are going to have to bring that?
We asked the question, and what still stands in their way? And I think that's part of it. Everybody's role is going to have to elevate to a higher level. With Amen stepping up, Jabari Smith stepping up, Tari Eason stepping up to a different role. And so that's what I'm saying. That's one of the things that still stands in their way. Implementing that. Confidence in Ime Udoka, but for those guys having to step up, and then you have the backside defense that's going to be more help defense. So that's one thing that I think they have to address. I think another thing is Reed Shepard clearly is going to play more minutes. What did he play, 16, 15, something like that? It's going to have to be in the 20s, and he is going to be in the 20s. You know, there are limitations. There are limitations with Reed Shepard on the floor.
I feel
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Much better with his particular types of limitations when he's playing point guard. The problem was in rookie year, it didn't feel like you could play him as this out-and-out point guard. Mm-hmm. So he had to play alongside Fred VanVleet, which means you had two small guys mm-hmm. that could be picked on. I think what they're going to be committed to is that Reed Sheppard is your backup point guard. So when he's out there, he will be your one, and maybe then you can have a, you know, depending on how you're doing your minute split, is it him along with a man on the floor at the time, mm-hmm. or is Tari Eason on the floor maybe playing that too? Or, you know, who do you have out there? But I feel like it gets a lot easier if he's just the one and there's only one guy to pick on. Because even when he's picked on, he is pretty smart in using his hands, mm-hmm. you know, kind of poking the ball out, being, you know, kind of just smart with what his size is. And if it's not two of them that can be overpowered, if it's just him out there, I think the defense is neutralized in some way. And it just becomes important for Reed to be the guy that knows when to get his shot and when to dish to other people and do that at an efficient level, which is, of course, still a step up for him at some point, but I think that it's within his realm of possibility.
No, I think it's within the realm of possibility on all these fronts. But as I mentioned, not only are you going to have other guys stepping up, then you're going to have Reed Sheppard on the floor, and there's a little bit of a hope that you have there with him. And then there's this, which is just the reality. You know, Kevin Durant's going to miss probably 20 games.
It's possible. It's quite possible.
He's missed 20 games three of the last 4 years, at least. Mm-hmm. Whether it's just slight injury, you know, you're limiting his time on the floor.
He played 78 a couple years ago.
He played 78 a couple of years ago and hadn't played more than 62.
And last year he played 62.
He played 62. He played 55, I believe, the year before that. So he's going to miss about 20 games. So you have to. That's another thing that you have to overcome. How are you going to play when he's on the bench for damn near, you know, a quarter of your season? So it's not like. Clearly, let's be very clear. You want him. You're better because of him. But these are all things that you're still going to have to overcome.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where, you know, again, Jabari mm-hmm. Smith Jr. is going to have to be a level of growth as well in order to give you more offense in the instances where, mm-hmm. you know, if Kevin Durant misses an extended period of time, he's going to have to grow into some of that. And that's also where seeing Reed or maybe even seeing Cam have their opportunities mm-hmm. to be more of a go-get-it offensive kind of opportunity, which is part of the growth and development that you're hoping to see from this roster mm-hmm. overall. And it's why it can't just be you drop into Kevin Durant to be the offense. It is he can be an offensive catalyst that helps
yeah.
the rest of these guys find an offense and help the coaching staff find an offense that can also be sustain itself with the added oomph of KD coming in and just being an incredible jump shooter and a dude that gets to his spots and so on and so forth.
And who has to make the biggest leap with the backdrop of what we just talked about with the defense, everybody stepping up, with Reed Sheppard, and with Kevin Durant missing games, who has to take the biggest leap up? Who has to take the biggest step? Because in order to win games without Kevin Durant, in order to be better on the defensive side, and in order to mitigate, you know, any other, you know, shortcomings, for lack of a better way to put it, that you might have. I mean, it's a man, right?
A man, I think, shooting-wise, because this is one of the things I think yeah. you lost. I forgot to come back to this. Dylan Brooks mm-hmm. was one of, if not your best, like jump, like spot up shooters that helped you space.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Kevin Durant is a great 3-point shooter, but he's going to space in a way because of the gravity of teams guarding him, but he's not going to get as many open shots mm-hmm. per se. And so who are the guys that are going to maybe give you some shooting to help you continue to add spacing? I mean, Reed Sheppard is one of those guys, but I already talked about, I think he's going to be more on ball. Maybe in some instances, periodically, you'll have him slide in as mm-hmm. a spot-up shooter in particular lineups. But I think that this is where Jabari Smith Jr. is going to have to find the Auburn Barry.
I was going to say
shooting.
Jabari, too.
But maybe that's another guy that also isn't on the team. I know there's someone on the text line who absolutely loves the idea of bringing in Quentin Grimes, although I think they're thinking about him as being a ball handler. I wouldn't want that. But as another dude who adds a shooter, I think that could be some. I think that's one of the things that you are still missing is you still haven't done a great anything much for adding the shooting that you need around an offense for this team because this team was still woeful shooting wise. The other thing is also penetration, dribble penetration. Jalen Green was the guy who did that. Yeah. You still don't have a lot of that. Amen Thompson, you'd think, but I think he's better.
He's more just slash
as a slasher and cutter,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Who is the guy that you have that will dribble penetrate?
Well, that's part of the question.
Right
who's going to step? Who needs to take the biggest leap? I think Jabari is one. Now, I don't know about
Jabari dribble penetrate?
No, I was going to say, I don't know about dribble drive.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about stepping up.
Yes.
You know, to an altogether different level. Can Reed Sheppard be that?
That's another thing that he's going to. He's done enough of it. Like, I vividly still mm-hmm. remember watching him in summer league last year and going, mm-hmm. oh, wow, there's more stuff in here.
Yeah.
Especially on ball that I had not properly given credit to. I think he has some of it. I don't know if, especially a guy that you're looking at being at best six man kind of thing, is the guy that you start looking for that in. And are they going to be a team that maybe just isn't a dribble drive type team, or is that just going to be another development for Alperen Shane, or not Alperen, for Amen Thompson? But I still, all of those things with him on ball, I feel like the lack of shooting kind of hampers it because teams can drop, teams can go under, teams can be like, hey, you have a runway, but we're not allowing you to get to the rim easily. So those are the things I'm still looking at as things that can hold the Rockets back internally without even talking about the external, what are those things outside that stand between the Rockets and their goals. But internally, those are the things I'm looking at that they need to address. I don't think they will in the draft, but once free agency opens up, I think that those are things that they're still looking at, trying to fill some level of answers with. And yes, Killer Cam, Cam Whitmore is one of those guys that serves as potential answer to any of these. But I'll ask you, just like I asked Luke Morrow, how comfortable do you feel like him sliding into the rotation for this team is? Because if in theory you could see it, but it felt like the reason why he didn't play last year was not because he couldn't help, was because it felt like Ime Udoka did not, did not, or he I don't know what the right way of saying this is, but Cam Whitmore did not fit what Ime, the criteria Ime had for his guys getting onto the floor.
Yeah, Cam Whitmore has been mentioned a lot, and I'm with you. I'm not exactly sure. Boy, he has a long way to go. I don't know if he needs to take the biggest jump, but he's got a long way to go to be able to be that guy.
And it's, you know? it's not not the on-court stuff.
No.
Cam can drive. Cam can shoot for sure. Defense is something that needs to work, but like, it just, it feels like he needs to be on the same page mentally with Ime and what this team is doing.
100%.
And it's weird because that feels like a bigger gap than those other things, even though I think those other things, physical gaps, are actually way bigger than Cam's space. And maybe that's unfair for me to say that, but Cam getting in the right mindset with Ime and them getting on the same page, at least from my perception, that could go a long way in helping you answer some of these as well.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Coming up next, it's about the time where we do our lunchtime confessions brought to you by the Men's Clinic. I kind of want to hear what confessions the OG has been harboring up from the weekend on the water. We'll see what he has next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.